A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Was that one of the most heartfelt wrestling things you've seen all year? Two people who were formerly family. They were closer than friendship. They were together. They were brother and cousin, I guess not brother, they were just cousins. And then they are torn apart by character flaws and championship gold. I could be talking about me and this son of a bitch right here.
Hey.
At the moment. I'm Ollie Davis, Mr. Davis. I've had a week off. I forget my own gimmicks sometimes. And I'm joined by your new Jam That champion, Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hey, everyone, look at this. Hey, finally, Luke has come home. Yes, please.
No, thank
you. Very nice. Give me a yes, please, in the comments. I am the new Jam That champion. Not only did I win the title with those cock gold rush reactions and predictions, I've also got my job back full time with the company. Yes, please.
No, thank you.
Yes, please.
No, thank you.
Yes, please.
No, thank you.
Everyone loves it. Everyone loves their new champion. The champion is here.
Well, mark my words, the old authority will have our revenge. Just before we talk about the cock in general, we've got a lot of cock to dive into.
Oh, so much cock.
Bad cock. Sort of boring cock. That, you know, the sort of cock that turns up to an orgy that you're like, well, you're just a bit of meat to fill in some time here. Lukewarm Luke Owen said to me before this stream started, as he placed my championship on his shoulder, he said that he's going to keep it there the entire stream. And I said, are you sure you want to do that? It's heavy. And you said,
I'm going to get this title over. And I'm going to do that by having it on my shoulder for this and all future streams. It's the pledge that I am making. But you're right. It is heavy though, isn't it?
You know, babyface challengers are meant to make promises they can deliver on. Otherwise, it chips away at their credibility. Jim Cornette's having an aneurysm somewhere.
Do you know what's going to help me get through this, Ollie? Do you know what's going to help me get through this? It's not just the yes, please, in the comments. Give me a yes, please. But it's everyone getting rowdy, getting rowdy.
What has happened to this place? I take 1 week off. Your champion, Louis' champion. What happened there?
Oh, mate, I absolutely balls that. Balls that something rotten in that final two rounds.
Anyway, I have a stopwatch on my computer screen right now. It's just past 3 minutes. It's pretty much the length of this, the duration of the stream so far, to see how long Lukewarm can keep that belt on his shoulder. Right, let's actually talk about cock now. We're talking about our first opening point now, and then we'll get in a full play-by-play review of the entire card after that, after your super chat, so get those in too. And that is an absolutely terrific main event between Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. When it went on as the end, when Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre went on as the sort of the second-to-last match in the ambulance match, I thought, well, is that the right decision? you know, I thought there might be a title change there. That not going on last sort of gave it away to me. Ah, no, the title isn't changing hands here. But then, do you really want to put one of your most predictable matches on the card? Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. Jey Uso isn't winning in a million years on as your main event. And they did. And that it's somehow become quite easily the best WWE main event of 2020. That's, and we both believe that. That's the name of this episode. Even more greater than the greatest wrestling match ever between Edge and Randy Orton from Backlash.
It was an incredible main event. Absolutely. Just like it's, I've never quite had a live reaction stream like it. Like when me, Blumpier and Q-Tip were watching the show, and it's a good name, isn't it? And we were watching the show and it felt like it was almost like less of us reacting to the match and more just like going through something. Like going through something together, this collective, and not just us, but all the people that were watching it with us in the SWAF Nation, watching the show, were all just in raptures watching this match. Just could not take our eyes off of it. And it, like, the more it went on, the better it got. The better it got, the more perfect it became. And it was an absolutely spellbinding main event. Like flawless is the word I would use to describe it. Absolutely flawless.
What I'm staggered by is how many different things it managed to achieve. We'll dive into them after we've just given you a quick recap of what happened, because maybe you don't watch wrestling. You watch people talk about wrestling. That's how you consume it. That's how you enjoy it. So it was a 22-minute match, not the longest match on the card, but nearly there. It was the other best match on the show. The triple threat ladder match for the Intercontinental title went 26 minutes. This went just over 22. And the first half of that match is Roman Reigns destroying Jey Uso. They are quite clearly telling the story. Jey is not on Roman's level and Reigns dominated him for 10 plus minutes. But then Jey starts coming back. And my God, what a comeback it was. Dives, super kicks. And, you know, he gets a bit of that for about 5, 6, 7 minutes. And then, this genius low blow. Jey Uso has him covered after a splash, I think. I can't remember what the spot was before.
He did the big splash, yeah.
And as Roman kicks out, on referee Charles Robinson's blind side, who put in a hell of a performance as well. You don't usually see referee performances. WWE don't use them in that way. But here I thought he was top notch. As Roman kicks out, he low blows Jey Uso. And that is, I'm sure that spot's been done many times in wrestling history. I can't remember seeing that done for quite a long time. Really caught me by surprise. And it's this, like, it's such a bully, conniving way out of a situation. And Roman's smiling with his beautiful new veneered teeth. And that let him see out the match, essentially, with a spear, punching Jey, another spear, punching Jey, to the extent where Jimmy comes out and, you know, the third Uso, where the hell were they? They could have come out and made the save. But Jimmy Uso comes out and they do a bit of throwing in the towel. And it's not about Roman winning at this point. Roman wants Jey to admit he is the new head of the family. He's the tribal chief. While Paul Heyman's sort of like yelling from ringside, "You're my tribal chief. I love you, Roman Reigns." Paul Heyman's fantastic in just a new way. And yeah, Jimmy throws in the towel. So Jey looked like $1 million because he never gave in. He never essentially said, "I quit," which is what Roman was trying to make him do. And he was never pinned. Really smart way to get around the pinfall. I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch at some point down the line. And the other thing accomplished, besides being an absolutely fantastically dramatic viewing experience, is, you know, you were talking about everyone going on a journey and getting suckered in by all these spots and twists and just continued beatdown. I feel like it wasn't just working through that. It was sort of, this was the first real addressing of our relationship with Roman Reigns since he went away after the cancer experience. Mm-hmm. You know, he was this hated babyface for 4 years, and then, you know, very sadly, the real life diagnosis of his leukemia coming back, takes him out for about 6 months. He comes back as a baby face and it just never quite works. And then, of course, he goes away again because of the pandemic at the start of March. And it's kind of been like a missed year for Roman Reigns, that March to March, WrestleMania 35 through to 36. And this is his return. And this is the first real dialogue we've had with him of him being a proper heel. And I thought it was done, like you said, to perfection.
It was, yeah, absolutely. There were so many moments in this match that were just like, oh, so, so great. The the episode of SmackDown, the go-home episode for this show was absolutely, it was like it was a perfect go-home show, actually, to like really set up this match as well. And the moment when Roman gives him the Superman punch, because like Jay's promo beforehand was like, throughout our wrestling careers, you've been the big dog. You've been the champion. You've been the main event. You know what people say to me when they look at me? Which one are you? you know, Jay and Jimmy. And then he's like, why can't I provide for my family? Why can't I provide for my kids? And when Roman gives him the Superman punch and lays him on the stage and just starts shouting at him, I provide for your family. I provide for your wife. I provide for your kids. I provide for the whole family. I'm the head of the table. So this whole match was building to that moment when he just snaps and he's just like, acknowledge me as your tribal chief. Acknowledge me as the head of the table. Acknowledge that I provide for your family. And like Jay is just refusing. And I loved it when Paul Heyman, as you said, just starts shouting, you're my tribal chief, Roman. And Roman looks at him and says, I don't want to hear you say it. I want to hear him say it. And that's what this was all about. And look, when Jimmy runs down and he throws in the towel for him and he dives in and he just looks at him and goes like, you're the head of the table. You're the tribal chief, all right? Just stop. And like, Jimmy never meant it. Jimmy didn't really mean what he was saying. But Roman just wanted to hear those words. And Roman was like, yep, cool. Got what I wanted. And Paul Heyman is standing there, hands in his pockets, looking like, uh-oh, what have I unleashed? I cannot control this, man. It was just like every single thing about this was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Like, I want to rewatch it multiple times. Fabulous stuff. And it's funny as well, because like going into this match, everyone thought it was going to be SummerSlam 2014. They all thought it was going to be Roman's just going to absolutely ragdoll Jay around and defeat him. And that will be that will cement the heel turn for Roman. This was such a much better way to cement that heel turn. And it's got Paul Heyman's chubby little fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, the ground and pound, the big move. Yeah, totally. It's a different kind of heel to what WWE usually does. I was quite taken by how Roman, his facials throughout the entire match were incredible. Just always pissed off, but not too pissed off. Like, it's not a realistic pissed off. It's still a very stylized, and the way he was speaking as well, it's still very stylized. It's not naturalistic in the slightest, but it was definitely more toned down than other heels are on the roster. It stood out more in that way because it was different.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it really was. Sorry, Andy's just messaging me on Discord and it distracted me. But yeah, it was just my fault. I did not put my phone on to airplane mode. But yeah, this was just, I love this character of Roman. There's been, you know, the reports throughout the week that Roman was going to get this new look and he's going to get new music when, like, and like Roman has said, you know, was saying himself, I'm going to get this new look, I'm getting new music. When I fully cement this heel turn, I'm getting new music. And we got the first part of that with him coming out in just the like the track pants and the boots, looked like $1 million. Just looked so badass. And it's the sort of look where you look at it, it's like it highlights how rubbish the flak jacket was and how crap it was. And we had it for so many years and all of us like, ugh, what a rubbish getup. Come tell you, all he's done is taken the flak jacket off and gone like, what a badass. He looks unstoppable now.
He's huge. He traps, like he's just his whole like upper frame, definitely. So that's what I led with in my review. The thumbnail was Roman debuts new look, and you know most people like, wow, he looks so much better. But the main dissension of that title is debuts new look. Oh, he's just taken off his jacket. That's a big deal.
Yeah. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. This is a proper character change for him.
Well, it was one of, well, I certainly think it's the best WWE pay-per-view main event of the year so far. Beyond, I guess, the only other things that were in contention with it were the Firefly Funhouse one, WrestleMania.
That was the main event.
Deadman AJ, I meant to say, one of the cinematic matches at least. Stadium Stampede, I thought was excellent. Mm-hmm. Weirdly. And the Royal Rumble, the men's Royal Rumble.
Moxley MJF, I loved.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that as well. Yeah.
Actually, Moxley Brody Lee was awesome as well.
I'm saying WWE.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just WWE. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think there's anything close to this. I'm not going to count cinematic matches. So, and in that, I suppose you could also say Randy Orton Edge as a cinematic match because of the various camera angles and, you know, various takes they did of this and the other. This is absolutely, like, this was perfect booking, perfect storytelling, all character-based. Loved it. And, like, it's made me want to watch SmackDown. It's made me want to tune in for the next episode of SmackDown to see the next part of this story, which is more than I could say for all of the Raw matches that were on this show.
Yeah. We'll get on to those and hopefully skip through a lot of them. Let's see what you guys thought on the super chats, though. There's been a lot of discussion around whether this was the best main event of the year. Ryo Adonte, first Roman should have been wrestling without that vest a long time. If he is hiding that physique under there, second, that story in the main event was chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. Ryo Adonte again. Also, where do you see this going? Because I feel like the story between the Usos and Reigns can't end here with that finish. Like, maybe a two-on-one match? Your thoughts?
Ooh, I wouldn't want it to be a two-on-one match because that's the baby faces with the advantage, and I think that's a bit backwards. But I could certainly see them doing a triple threat, like Jimmy versus Jay versus Roman. But really, for me, I feel like the end goal of this is Roman versus Rock. Like, you know, that's the... It's sure, like, that's... If there's one man who has been, like, the head of this family in terms of wrestling and in terms of, like, bringing in money and fame to apart from Nia Jax, it's The Rock, right? It's Dwayne Johnson. He is, like, he's the guy in that family.
Realistically, I don't think it's happening. That'll be my thing. I'll put it down now. The Rock is not going to do another wrestling thing because, you know, the guy is going to be our president, the United States president in 4 years. So he can't be doing that sort of stuff. I think, and it's going to be a difficult balance to take, I want the Usos to side with Roman, but not in a heel turn way. I want them to do it almost in, like, this is a tradition thing. We were beaten by the tribal chief, so we now have to, you know, we're now his... in his service, really. And then you get that dynamic of some baby faces who have to do stuff against their own morality. Hopefully have an underdog rising thing there. Bacon Rasher, hi lads, is it me or is it funny that Roman and Jay save the pay-per-view? Would never have thought that a year ago. SmackDown cock was awesome, Raw was just cock. 2020 really is a weird year. Andy's JTJ, hashtag new champ.
New champ indeed. Yeah, I mean, we said this on the stream last night. If you'd have said at the start of the year that a pay-per-view main event would be Jey Uso challenging heel Roman Reigns for the Universal Champion, we'd have gone, no, mate.
It's one of those years. Angel Perez, Roman Reigns is certified chief badass. Call him chief. Also, Luke is the champion, my friend.
Luke is the champion. Thank you all so much for all your wonderful messages about me winning this championship. So I hold it very, very proudly.
Dean Trin, with that main event, the next family reunion, going to be awkward as heck.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Thanksgiving, yeah. Rikishi's there like, bro, what did you do that for? Ian Bolton, great main event. I fancy Jay and Roman in Hell in a Cell for even more tribal villainy from Roman. Best storyline by far in WWE right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think this has trumped the Bailey Bank stuff, which was, for my money, the best thing in WWE at the moment.
You know we're getting Roman versus Fiend.
Oh, well, I mean, that was set up on SmackDown. Yeah. So when Roman came out for his promo, Alexa Bliss stops and just, like, looks at the title because she's, like, you know, like, you know, the Fiend's bae and whatnot. She is, what, like, they're 100% setting up Fiend Roman again. I'm not sure if it's Hell in a Cell, but yeah, it's certainly coming down the line.
It's the Fiend's got to lose at Hell in a Cell. That's the gimmick. KML. Before the heel turn, I kept asking, why does Vince keep trying to push Roman? Today, I stopped asking why. Roman is so damn good, and I believe that.
It was. We had a couple of super chats about this last night, being like, I don't want to ever hear a bad word said about Roman Reigns ever again. Because, like, I'll be honest with you, this is the Roman we've always said was possible. Like, Roman's always been great. He's just been put in pants storylines and been made to look like a dingus. He's always had the potential to do this.
Yeah, but let's not go too far the other way. Let's not suddenly correct history, like, oh yeah, well, now we've got this. That totally makes up for the 4 years terrible booking. That was rubbish. It choked a lot of stuff on Raw and SmackDown. But yes, now this is very, very good stuff. It just took way too long.
Do you know, like, the Marky Maivia had, well, like 6 months as his babyface run before they were like, oh, damn, that's not working. Let's turn him heel. We had that with Roman Reigns for 5 years, and he was the main event. At least Marky Maivia was a mid-carder. Like, Roman was the main event, just choke-holding everything. And it's not his fault, it's the company's fault.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the immorons.
Well, we will get on with all of your super chats before the end of the show, so keep getting those in. And we'll start with a full play-by-play review. But first, the standings are in for Wrestle League. So this is Wrestle League season. I've lost track. And it runs from SummerSlam through to Survivor Series. And currently, Pete is on the bottom with 18 points. Thank you, Chopper. Thank you, Q-Tip, for taking those L's for me. Adam, 21. Laurie, 21. Rich, 23. He's an editor. No one sees him. Me, 24. then Andy Datson's put his name in, even though it's also 24. So I'm above Randy there. And then there's lukewarm Luke Owen with 25.
Oh, it's not a strong lead, is it? It's not a strong lead ahead in Wrestle League, but I am at the top of the table. I'm humbled by all of this to be your champion. Give me a yes, please. You know what time it is? Time to get rowdy.
You've got different bumpers now.
Yeah.
Hell in a Cell. NXT TakeOver 31. Full Gear. Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of time.
Mod Mother, I've got a whole 19 points. At least I'm beating Pete.
Mod Mother, give me your points. You don't need them.
No, it doesn't work that way.
And Louis's got 30.
Yeah, but Louis
is like, bloody asked the wrestlers.
I was going to say, Louis has admitted to us that he knew some of the results at SummerSlam because he just asked.
Right, so let's get on with our full play-by-play review of this Clash of Champions show. The kickoff show, which was originally meant to have Asuka versus Zelina Vega, actually had the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. A rare example of the women getting bumped from the pre-show.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and actually, it was a really fun match. So the news coming out of Clash of Champions, like on the day, despite the fact that WWE knew this all week long, just decided on the day of the show, like an hour before it kicked off, was like, oh, by the way, two of these matches aren't happening. Bayley versus Nikki Cross did not take place because of, as you put in the news, reasons, likely COVID related. And they said that there's going to be a replacement match. The women's tag match was taken off and just no replacements happening. Apparently it's going to be addressed on Raw tonight. I'd imagine Andrade and Angel Garza will face the Street Profits to decide who's going to win those championships. We don't know what's happened there. Apparently, according to Meltzer, Nia Jax was really, really angry with how WWE handled the situation about taking them off the show. And it was legit anger when she was saying, you know, lies, posting lies on Twitter and saying that, not like she was posting lies, but she posted the word lies about WWE saying that they've been taken off due to injury and then lying that Shayna Baszler's pregnant. So apparently she was dead upset that they got taken off the show.
Yeah, Nia. You know, you can say a lot of things about Nia Jax, but you got to respect her for having a go at the company when she's not happy. A lot of other wrestlers would just, you know, keep themselves to themselves. But Nia's like, the Rock's like my cousin. I'm going to kick up a fuss here. So yes, we opened with, well, the pre-show. The only match on the pre-show was Lucha House Party, the lineup of Kalisto and Lince Dorado, taking on Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura took about 90% of the match, and then they won.
Yeah, fun match though. Like, you know, I think Cesaro is brilliant around cruiserweights because he's dead strong and he can do the moves to himself and make them look brilliant and then can just boot them in the face to, you know, slow down the pace. And it was decent enough, like TV action for a pre-show. And I think it was fairly predictable that Cesaro and Nakamura were going to retain here, continuing the dissension of the Lucha House Party.
Yeah, that didn't really play into anything, that story with... don't tell me, Grandmother League on the outside. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. It would, you know, it's not really a storyline you can get that invested in because they've been beaten so much on TV leading up to it. However, the main card, after a John Cena narrated video package about being a champion, he's won 16 of them, don't you know, was AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn versus Jeff Hardy for both Intercontinental Championships. In a ladder match. I love a ladder match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love a triple threat ladder match on top of that. Tag team ladder matches. The more people in there, it almost feels like that's the best way to do it. And going into this match, I had Jeff down to win because they did a dice roll for it because I literally could not pick between the three of them. But my heart wanted Sami Zayn to win because I think Sami is so, so great. He looks proper rubbish at the moment. He's wearing these crap trousers and his rubbish hat and his stupid hair, and I love it. It's my favorite look in wrestling at the moment. He looks homeless, like he's proper given up, and I love it.
You know, everyone's like he's homeless. He's doing that sort of down and out vibe. I feel like he's just rocking the counter-revolutionary chic, like a revolutionary Fidel Castro or something.
But I mean, me and Adam said this on the stream last night. He looks like he smells. Like that's and I love it. And that's a great heel. And the best thing about Sammy winning,
he looks like he smells.
Oh,
great heel.
I can feel it through the telly. And what's great about this is that Sammy is now right. Sammy is the Intercontinental Champion. And what is better in this world than a heel who thinks they're right and will just go out there and tell everyone that he was right all along.
And he outsmarted them. I thought so. This was, you know, it's a ladder match with AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, and Sami Zayn. Two of those are complete veterans of the ladder match style, and AJ Styles is incredible, phenomenal, you might say. So you've just got all of these spots, which, you know, there are a few crazy ones in there. Jeff Hardy did a swanton bomb off the really tall ladders on the outside on Sami through a ladder that had been suspended between the apron and the announcer's table. There were flips into ladders. There was this really weird spot that is classic Jeff Hardy, where he's like, okay, what I'm going to do, I think if you push me off the ladder when I'm on it, I can climb over the ladder as you're pushing it, and then I'll end up on my feet on the other side. You know, that's what, and he said, and he's like, do you want to rehearse that? Do you want to see if that's actually possible? Nah, it'd be good. You don't want to check. Just run it through once to make sure a really bad version of that can't happen. No, it'd be fine. Be fine. Don't worry. I'm Jeff Hardy. So that happens. Sami Zayn's pushing it over. Jeff Hardy's trying to climb over the top, but he falls backwards. And the momentum of the ladder in the corner, flipping over the ropes, just tumbled them to the ground in such a fast way.
I have no idea what he had planned for this. Like, absolutely.
I'll tell you exactly what he had planned for it. He wanted to climb over the ladder as it was falling, like he was in the Matrix, and then land on his feet on the other side.
That was never going to work,
I
though.
No!
It was the weirdest thing. But, like, I mean, you say it's typical Jeff Hardy. WrestleMania X7, when he's doing the stepping stones thing, they write about this in their autobiography. He tried that 5 times during the day and fell every single time. And everyone kept telling him, Jeff, I don't think it's going to work, mate. And Jeff was like, no, I can do it. I can definitely do it. I'll just do it on the night. Once the crowd's here, I'll be fine. What happened? He fell on his ass, didn't he? Absolutely went ass over tea kettle and fell down. And this feels like that exact same. If a report comes out that he tried this 5 times during the day and never did it once, I won't be surprised.
There was a really there were lots of good moments in this match, but there's one I think that's going to slip under the radar, and it was really, really good. And I, you know, we've seen a lot of ladder matches. I've seen people jump off tall things and go through ladders, so it was, you know, as shocking as those are, they're not really surprising or make you go, huh, that was clever. But there was this spot where AJ and Jeff Hardy are on the top of the ladder in the middle of the ring and they're fighting. Sami Zayn had been thrown off earlier. He was in the corner. And Hardy and AJ were fighting in a way that made the ladder topple over. But it didn't crush Sami Zayn. It hit the top turnbuckle. Both other guys like spilled to the ground. But Sami was underneath it, protected in like this little base he'd made himself. I thought that was genius.
Oh, mate, it could have gone to horribly wrong as well. That position, it could have been very horrible. But that was really, really cool. I mean, we can get to the finish in a moment. But the other thing I really enjoyed about this match is that AJ Styles has just clearly decided, look, I took all my bumps in TNA. Like, I did so many X Division, Ultimate X matches and whatever happened matches. I've done all the crazy bumps. I'm in my 40s now. I'm just not doing them anymore. So Sami Zayn and Jeff Hardy effectively had to bump for him and just do all the crazy bumps and everything. And AJ was like, look, I'll give you two. I'll do two bumps in this match and that's your lot.
So the end came when Sami got out some handcuffs and he handcuffs Jeff Hardy's ear piercing to a ladder. So he puts the cuffs through the ear piercing and handcuffs the other side to a ladder. Jeff's like, and he can't move. I thought he was going to do a thing where because you can gimmick that easily. You just pull it out. Like, what a badass babyface comeback that would be. Rawr! Blood pouring from his ear. But he didn't do that. He just walked around with a ladder attached to his face. So Sammy gets in the ring.
It's the new cool earring. It's the new fashion trend of the 2020s.
Honestly, if Jeff Hardy turned up to a taping with a ladder like pierced into his own ear, I think most people would go, Oh, yeah.
Sounds about right.
I'm surprised. But Sammy gets into the ring, tries to do the same to AJ. AJ fights back and AJ stands up, but then realizes in a really nice little reveal that Sammy had handcuffed himself to AJ during this exchange. And Sammy's just looking at him laughing. And the commentators did a really good job of saying, like, look, Sammy doesn't want anyone to win if he can't. So it really got over Zayn's character a lot. But then ultimately they're climbing up the ladder. Sammy's got a key in his mouth. He cuffs AJ to the ladder and picks up both belts. Great match.
My favorite moment of that is when AJ realizes that he's now handcuffed to Sami Zayn and is looking at him like, what are you doing? What is going on here? And then Sammy just dead weights. He just completely just lays on the floor. So AJ's like dragging him around. And it's just this limp arm is trying to be lifted up. It was so funny. The other spot that really made us laugh during this is when AJ went for the phenomenal forearm on Sami Zayn onto the ladder, but Jeff was pushing the ladder on the other side. So Jeff pushes the ladder into AJ as he's doing the phenomenal forearm. Proper like GTA wasted moment. It just gets clattered out of the air. We had a proper laugh watching this during the live reactions. It was so wacky, but wonderful at the same time. I had so much fun with this. It went 40 minutes. You know, from sort of like entrances to the end, it went about 40 minutes. And apparently, according to Louis Dangor, WrestleTalk's Louis Dangor, it's because the two matches got changed. Because the women's match the tag match got taken off and the Bayley match got shortened, this match was given more time. And it was all the better for it.
Yeah, I thought that might have been the case. Same with the main event as well. There were a few matches that got a really decent chunk of time beyond what WWE would give them if they actually planned ahead. That was an excellent match. Really, really good opening to the show. But then Raw had to happen.
God, so, this show like screeched to a halt at this point.
Yeah, R-Truth lost his 24/7 title to Drew Gulak backstage. I thought that would be very funny because Drew Gulak's really good, but we'll get onto that later. And then we got Asuka versus Zelina Vega. So this was meant to be on the pre-show. I think Vega needed a decent showing to make this work, particularly if they're going to run with her as a title competitor going forward. What happened was a 7-minute okay match. You know, like if it was on TV, I'd go, that was a match. Mm-hmm. And it was Vega just doing the standard sort of technical wrestling that everyone kind of does when they're trying to do this style of match. But Asuka overpowers her at the end, makes her tap in the Asuka lock. So you've tapped to someone's submission finish. And in the post-match, Vega kicked Asuka in the gut rather than shaking her hand. In what I guess will continue.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got nothing to say. It was what it was.
Vega much better as a manager, but now they're trying to, you know, they're setting her up to fail. There's no build here. She hasn't had a lengthy run to build herself up with credibility to face for the championship. And she's not going to get over in a program like that, especially when you beat her, make her tap in the first outing. Another Raw feud that's been going on since lockdown began, Apollo Crews versus Bobby Lashley.
Yep. And this match was what it was. It was a match. They had a match. Lashley did his stuff. Crews did his stuff. Lashley retained.
Yeah.
No retribution. Like, I think we were all just sort of sitting there waiting for the retribution show because they're now feuding with the Hurt Business. And they didn't show at all. So, like, the Hurt Business are heels in this feud, but they're baby faces against Metribution. That's the skinny of it. To try and fill you in on what happened on Raw last week.
Oh, shades of grey. Excellent. So they're Raw exclusive, which means no SmackDown, no pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. They just never interfere on the big shows. I totally agree. It was a fine match, but I've seen it for about 3-4 months now. Be it Lashley or MVP. I'm just bored of this story. There's no real hook in there. The like you said, the real Hurt Business storyline is with Metribution right now. not with Apollo Crews still.
And it's incredible when you think like how far the story has come in that, you know, we've had a Cedric heel turn. We had MVP challenge. MVP was United States champion for a bit. We had a new title belt introduced. We've had a Crews win the belt. We've had Bobby Lashley win the belt. And yet it feels stale as F. Like it feels like it's never really gone anywhere. And I'm ready for it to be over.
Speaking of ready to be over, the Street Profits then defended their Raw Tag Team Championships against Andrade and Angel Garza
So this is the eighth match they've had in 9 weeks in various combinations, right? And like that's just the last 9 weeks. Not to mention the fact that these two teams have basically been feuding since WrestleMania. And it's just never really... And the only way this feud is now finished is because Angel Garza's out with an injury. It feels like that's the only way that this feud's ever going to end.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a in-ring, it was fine. It was good. It was really good. They're all really good wrestlers.
But
I've seen this so many times. I don't watch the same TV show, like, episodes over and over again. And that's what this is. They tried to add a new wrinkle to the sort of formulaic template that they've had forever now. And that was a Spanish fly off the top rope. I think it was Garza definitely doing it on Ford. Mm-hmm. And they were close to not getting all the way over for Garza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Ford had to do like a very late save to make sure that he was going to get flipped because he basically slipped before they went.
Mm. But that, I don't think that was the spot where he injured himself, but shortly after, Garza suddenly just like ended up on the floor, looked at Andrade and very quickly got out of there, rolled out to the outside. Andrade looks at him and you can see, you can tell something's wrong. They were doing their best to cover it. Andrade gets in, looks over occasionally. Yep. Garza still isn't up on the apron, and the referee must have called for to go to the finish. Because he counted the three after Dawkins did a sort of powerbomb spinebuster thing, even though Andrade kicked out. Now, I've got loads of sympathy for when stuff goes wrong in matches. I'm not like going all Botchamania again or anything like that, because I think the thing that's most important is that if someone's injured or hurt, they should be looked after rather than the stuff in the ring finishing. You know, you got to have priorities here. But this is the third Raw match in about 3-4 weeks where an injury has happened. Okay, these things happen. You can't really do much about that. But then the people who aren't injured in the ring rush to the finish. Someone isn't aware that the finish is happening. So the referee counts three despite someone kicking out. We've had it with Mickey James. The referee thought Mickey James was injured. She wasn't. So the referee just counted them out. We've had it with Ricochet and Cedric Alexander when Ivar of the Viking Raiders injured himself with a dive. And now we've had it here too. People kick out when they've called for the finish early. And it's like, it's happened so much in such an intense period of time that surely someone is figuring out a way to change this and make this not happen as much going forward, but they're not.
Yeah, so it feels like someone goes out with an injury, the referee finds out that the injury has happened, tells one of them we're going to the finish, but doesn't tell the person getting pinned we're going to the finish. What I hate about this, you're right, accidents happen, you know, it ain't ballet, folks. These things happen, and I'd much rather just go to the finish rather than trying to carry on what's happening in the ring. But everyone has got to be on the same page when this happens, because what happens is that Andrade kicks out very much at two, but the referee counts, Dawkins looks confused, Andrade looks confused, and then the poor commentators have to try and cover for it. And there's only so many times that the commentators could go like, oh, the referee obviously did not see the shoulder. I was like, he's looking directly at them. Like, of course he saw what happened. And it makes the commentators look like absolute imbeciles. It makes the referee look dumb. It makes all the wrestlers look dumb. Just tell everyone in the ring we're going to the finish. There's only two people you need to tell. Like, just tell them.
But even if you do tell them and Dawkins seem to be aware, you can't deal with that saltiness. Dawkins are pissed off when he was
apparently celebrating. According to Louis Dangor, he was furious.
Really?
So mad. Yeah, so mad.
Look at Louis getting all the exclusives.
Yeah, he's been busy.
Is that on the website?
No, that was he was just texting me like during the show itself. Sorry,
furious.
Yeah, sorry. If it looks like I'm distracted, I've just got to change my headphones over. My earbuds have just died.
You've got to keep that championship on your shoulder, otherwise it's mine. But the worst thing out of all of this, apart from Garza being injured, apparently it's a hip injury. They're doing assessments to see how bad it is. We don't know yet. That's what PW Insider are reporting. But apart from that, the worst thing is that finish means the feud might still continue.
No, absolutely cannot at this point. Absolutely, it cannot do it at this point. We've got to be done. Surely now.
So after that, we got Roman Reigns giving a speech in a sort of, is it the Susan B. Anthony Foundation? I can't remember, which was one of those annoying things WWE does where they're like, this person's a babyface for the purpose of this charity advert. Now buy into them in the main event, destroying their family. The WWE draft was announced for 2 weeks' time, as reported a couple of months ago.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if Mandy Rose still hasn't debuted on Raw, even though she'd been drafted pre-draft, and she still hasn't debuted by the time the draft comes around, and then she just gets drafted back to SmackDown?
Yeah, so I guess this is the, well, hopefully, freaking Street Profits and Andrade and Angel Garza are drafted away from each other. Drew Gulak loses the 24/7 title back to Akira, not to Akira Tozawa, to R-Truth. And then we get Bayley coming out. Her match has been called off with Nikki Cross because Nikki Cross can't compete because of reasons. And she issues an open challenge and Asuka comes out.
Mm, yeah, we were really surprised by this. Everyone, like in the comments, was saying like, it's going to be Alexa Bliss. Mm. So when it was Asuka, we were like, oh, we're actually going to get a clash of champions here. And yeah, I mean, it was more angle than it was match. Like it was there to go, you know, what, 3-4 minutes, whatever it was. And they did some bits and bobs. And in the end, I said this at the start, no matter who it is, it's going to end in a DQ. And yeah, Bayley just hits her with a chair for a lame DQ finish. But it was just there to set up the angle afterwards, which was Sasha Banks hitting her with a chair, them hitting each other with chairs and kendo sticks, and setting up the match, which presumably will be at Hell in a Cell. I mean, they were doing virtually no build for Bayley, Nikki Cross anyway, on SmackDown. Like even before they knew that Nikki Cross wasn't going to be there, because it was just a placeholder feud before we get to Bayley and Banks. So yeah, it was never really going to mean much regardless.
It's a shame because, you know, look, I'm the same as you. When I watched this, I was like, oh, okay, Asuka, that's fun. A cool 3 minutes of fiery action, but it's ultimately a DQ and just an angle. Dave Meltzer pointed out in his review, though, that other companies, when they change a advertised title matchup last minute, the idea is to kind of give the fans something better to make up for not being able to deliver what was advertised on. So imagine a world where Asuka just came out and had a really good 15-minute match with Bayley, mm-hmm. with a definitive finish where Bayley won.
Yeah. And that was never going to happen because they don't want to beat either champion. So, but they sent Asuka out there for this match, and it was like, uh-oh, but we don't want Asuka to lose. We don't want Bayley to lose. How have we got ourselves into this situation? DQ.
Yeah, but the bank stuff returning was really good. It's great, all of that stuff. And then as our last match we're going to talk about, because we've already discussed Reigns and Jey Uso, was Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton in the Ghosts of Randy's Past match, also an ambulance match. You know, all of those ghosts, apart from Keith Lee, who I would argue is one of the more focal points of this feud since SummerSlam, was not included once in the video package, not really mentioned on commentary as part of the context, not in all the spots that happened with various wrestlers getting involved. because we had involvement from Big Show. We had involvement from Christian, HBK and Ric Flair, all the people that Randy has taken out over the last six or so months. But never did we get anything from Keith frickin' Lee.
I imagine, I'm totally kayfabing this. I'm totally like Pritcharding this. He's selling the punt because Randy punted him on Raw. So I'd like to think he was, you know, off TV because he's selling the punts to, you know, make sure that move stays, the integrity of that move is intact after Shawn Michaels trying to destroy it as best as he could. But yeah, this really, it was not the match I was expecting this to be. Really, of like all the predictions that we had throughout the week that we did, that we, you know, been chatting with other wrestling fans, at no point did anyone think, ah, this will be the match where babyface Drew McIntyre is helped by Big Show, HBK, Christian, and Ric Flair to an extent. But Randy is always on top no matter what happens. Yeah. It was a really weird match. Like, I don't think it made Drew look rubbish. You certainly couldn't say they buried Drew McIntyre in this match. But it didn't make him look great. Because, you know, like, HBK, like, super kicks Randy Orton on top of the ambulance and then pushes him off the top of the ambulance while Drew's selling on the floor. And then the very next thing that happens is Randy RKO's Drew McIntyre. So it was like, none of it mattered, like, really. And Randy just almost like constantly remained on top of the match.
Yeah, they were just spots for spots' sake, I think. Very superficially done. If you haven't watched the match, folks, it wasn't a thing where all four guys came out and did like attacked Randy after Randy had done something particularly heinous. It was placed quite sporadically throughout the entire match. Within a few minutes, Big Show did the first spot of interference where he grabbed Randy's leg. Then about 5 minutes after, Christian jumped Randy when they brawled backstage. About 5 minutes after that, it was HBK super kicking Randy on top of the ambulance. And exactly like Luke said, Randy is still on top for most of this, despite all the assistance Drew was getting. It's completely backwards psychologically. I'm not against the idea of it. I think, you know, the idea of all of these consequences to Randy's past actions coming back to get revenge on him is a really, really good story. I would have told that story in a way that didn't make Drew look so weak. But I think that's a good story, but not for now, because I was really into this Drew-Randy feud, particularly after SummerSlam and that extraordinary match where no finishers were hit. And maybe this is my fault. Maybe it's a classic case of, oh, you like the story that WWE are telling you, but no, you just read too much into that. That's not the story they're telling. Because what I thought was happening was that they were telling a story around finishers, about who is the best wrestler. Randy and Drew didn't hit an RKO, a punt, a claymore, nothing like that in the SummerSlam match. And in the backstage scuffles since, they've been getting, you know, going one apiece, two, and ultimately tied at three punts or claymores backstage. So I thought, okay, here is now when someone can hit their finisher in the wrestling match. But they didn't tell that story at all. Instead, they almost skipped ahead 3 months into the future of not this feud. This is more Randy's character. This wasn't a Drew match. This was a Randy storyline progression thing. And what I think is quite undermined by Edge not being there. Like, if this is the true end of the McIntyre-Randy feud, really, it should be the setup Edge returning. And then Edge can go into this Randy feud off the back of it. Because imagine if these people turn up sporadically and then those intervals work. If Edge turns up at the end, spears Randy, and they throw Orton into the ambulance together, that works perfectly. But that isn't what happened.
No, we all were saying like during it, oh, this would be the point when Edge shows up, or Edge will be in the ambulance, or they'll do something along those lines. But it never happened. Edge wasn't there. I get, you know, he's probably still out injured, I guess. So it felt weird to go in this direction. And you could probably make the argument that like, oh, Drew was just selling the fractured jaw that he got from Randy. But like, he's wrestled two matches on Raw, both against Keith Lee, both ending in DQ and no contest because WWE's booking department is crap in the bed when it comes to Raw. I just don't know how to have matches end. So I never bought into the fractured jaw thing because he's always just been wrestling ever since it happened.
Yeah. So it wasn't by far one of Drew's least best pay-per-view matches, because I think by and large his pay-per-view title work has been fantastic.
Oh yeah.
The Brock Lesnar match was what it was, but Bobby Lashley, Dolph Ziggler in 2020, getting that match out of that. The Randy Orton match at SummerSlam was really, really good. So yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame that they went this way. But overall, this is a show based on its opener and its closer, which were absolutely magnificent. So I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. 4 out of 5. Last thing I just wanted to mention on the Drew McIntyre thing. When you know, people say like, "Hey, WWE's not doing the same thing all the time. They do loads of new fresh stuff." Someone posted up a graphic of Kofi's WWE Championship run versus Drew's, and it was Kofi won the belt at WrestleMania. He faced Dolph Ziggler at Extreme Rules. He faced Randy Orton at SummerSlam, and he faced Randy Orton
Clash of Champions. Oh no, he's going to lose it in the draft.
Exactly. Brock's going to come back. Brock's going to get drafted to Raw, and he's going to beat him on an episode of Raw in 4 seconds.
God damn it. Anyway, let's get in with your super chat, see what you guys thought of the show. Vandalia, still on the subject of the main event, 1998. So do you think on SmackDown, Roman will say Jay should have quit sooner, or that respects Jay for not quitting because that's what his family does?
I don't think Roman's finished. He still hasn't had Jay say that, you know, he's the tribal chief, that he's the head of the table. I think he's not finished with him yet.
I really want the Usos to be part of Roman's family faction, but it's a very tense relationship. Timon Uzumaki, this is just fantasy booking, but I want Roman to keep the title past WrestleMania, beating The Rock, and then feud and maybe drop the title to Karrion Kross.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is
very much
booking.
That is fantasy booking.
NXT call-up, winning a title. Flim Flam Mandrew. Yes, Flim Flam. A shout out to Chris Jericho's briefly lived dance craze. It was astonishing how after all the wackiness on the reaction show, everybody just shut up and practically sat in silence during the main event.
It was a heck of a stream that we did last night. Adam was telling very filthy stories about sort of like old Craigslist ads that genuinely made some people stop watching the stream for a bit, and then eventually they came back. It might also just be as well because the pay-per-view did get mad boring for a little bit. But yeah, like it was just this really way, like we were laughing and this and the other, we were having some drinks, and all of a sudden this main event kicked in and we all just went very, very quiet and were just really like just engaged in this match. It was amazing.
Josh Polson, I bet Charles Robinson was refereeing this match going, "Oh, I swear, here we go again," as he officiated the 2016 murder of John Cena by Brock Lesnar.
But it was the 2014 murder.
Yeah, I was going to say that was 2014. Matty B. Wrestling. Loved how Roman and the ref were going at it the whole time, especially the count break spot. Also, I felt like Jimmy Uso watching the main event. Yeah, that's always a thing with, I can't remember what it's called, but it's kind of like it's like a spectator theory thing. You do it in films a lot where you don't, you emote more with stuff when it's through the lens of another character watching it on. It's like you'd think that distances you, but it actually enhances it. Metal Bear, Roman saying to the ref, "Don't ever make me address you again," was a personal highlight. Bonkers. Oh, good heel work from Roman. 2020 really is nuts.
Yeah, it was so, so great. Angel Perez has just left a comment that I think we now know what this is all building towards. It's a Call Me a Chief merch.
Yes, Chief. Just go to any kebab shop in London. Yeah. You want Chief. Glass Frame. Great angle because Roman believes he is morally right. He believes he has to look after all the children in the family, not just his own.
Probably because that's what he's always done. Like, because he's always been the top guy, he has been the person that's been, like, you know, providing for the family. So now he's just, oh, I love it. Absolutely love it.
It's like a leadership challenge almost. Mm-hmm. Lino, just Lino, pure speculation, but I think that a condition for Roman to coming back was that Retribution can't be on the same show as him. Concerns about his health with all the extra people in those angles.
Yeah, yeah, that was mad awkward. There was the report of the COVID breakout in the Performance Center, and they made the decree that the Performance Center people can now no longer appear on Raw and or SmackDown. Problem was, it already appeared on Raw as part of Retribution's group.
Can't believe that. Metal Bear, howdy lads, great main event. A year ago, had someone tell me that 2020's best heels were Seth, Randy and Roman, I'd have called that person a fool. Keen to see what next for Roman. JTJ, thumbs up party.
Thumbs up party. Thumbs up party, everyone.
Hot tag to you.
Moen Kanib says, imagine The Fiend being as over now as when he first debuted last year versus this Roman Reigns. Would have been incredible. Fingers crossed the Fiend can reach those same heights again. Be honest, man, I'm not sure he can. Maybe he can, but it just feels like they've spent this last year just fizzling out all of the love and adoration that we had for the Fiend character.
I think some things you can't recover from, and that Hell in a Cell loss, and we're rapidly approaching the anniversary for it, is one of the biggest creative mistakes WWE have ever made.
You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. Kevin, as soon as Big Show interfered, I was done with the WWE Championship match. There was no way McIntyre was going to lose with all of those interference from the Legends. Yeah, we said that on the stream. As soon as Big Show was there, we were like, well, Drew's retaining then. Because it would be bloody awful for Drew McIntyre if multiple people interfered on his behalf and he still lost.
Yeah, and Ric Flair didn't even turn on him. Ugh.
In terms of like the ghosts of the Christmas past and everything, so that means the Big Show is like the creepy little girl in Muppet's Christmas Carol. Christian is the big choir. Well, exactly, but Christian came second, so he has to be the ghost of Christmas present, and then Shawn Michaels was the ghost of Christmas death, which I think makes Ric Flair Marley and Marley. To basically just be like, you will be visited by the ghost of your past. Yeah, sounds about right. Andrew Buckley, when the SmackDown matches were going to begin, I went, woo, looking forward to this. When the Raw matches were about to start, I was like, oh, well, brew time. It was startling, like, how good the SmackDown stuff was and how awful and bland the Raw stuff was.
Yeah, it's almost like removing the head of the creative direction hasn't been good for that show.
Charles Berg, and here's even more Retribution names. Crater, Butterfly, Greasefire, Duke Nukem, Red 13, and of course, Tunk.
Oh, I like Tunk.
Tunk's all a good one, yeah. Some good references in there as well. Thank you, Charles. Amro, do you think the ladder match will get 5 stars?
No. 4.5. Maybe not even that. 4.25.
Could Vega be fodder for a Peyton Asuka feud? A triple threat could be a way for Asuka to lose the title without actually losing the match. Apparently, people are very high on Peyton Royce at the moment, and
don't even say that term.
I know.
I'm done with it. High on WWE Raw star backstage,
dude. As Louis put it, it's not Vince that's high on her; it's everyone. Is high on her. That's the new version of this story now, is that everyone is high on Raw star backstage. Nate S dropped surname. Oh, thank you very much, Nate. Must be in Retribution's contract to be Raw exclusive and not mess with pay-per-views. Hail to the champion, lukewarm. Hashtag yes please. Thank you very much, Nate. And a yes please to you. Yeah, well, they'd said prior to them signing the contracts that they were Raw exclusive because they weren't messing with SmackDown anymore. So I don't think that is, I don't know. Marcos A, guys, what do you think is going to unfold next with Sasha and Bayley? I love the story so far. Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, there's no reason for it to be, really. But yeah.
Yeah. Sam Legret, as this was left over from last night's, apparently, one more time for the stream. Bloop! We were playing that Undertaker noise quite a bit in the show. Alistair Gammon, yes, please, get rowdy, this time with sound.
Louis looks so goddamn rowdy in that as well.
You obviously, you weren't here for this, but that's what Louis submitted as a picture for his thumbnail interview with Matt Sydal. And that's why I just messaged you, like, it's like, oh, no, cheer up a little bit, mate. Matt Sydal. Sat Vault, everyone super chat, yes, please, in your languages. In Italian, it's si, per favore. Is that right?
Don't know. Well, probably, but do know thank you instead.
Give me a yes, please. Zombie Boss, hey, guys, love your show. Keep up the good work. Can I get a yes, please? Yes, you can. Yes, please. Let's get around it. Constantly getting rowdy in the chat. Luke Neal, just want to say I loved it when you were talking about Nickelback songs. You put a genuine smile on my face. Yeah, we did. The stream got derailed for a little bit because we were so bored by the wrestling that we just talked about Nickelback for. Because someone messaged in asking for our genuine thoughts on Nickelback. And it was fun times. It was a great stream last night. Lino, just Lino, what's going to be the punishment if Luke can't deliver on his promise? Well, I can tell you this, Lino, my shoulder hurts.
I was going to say, you've just passed an hour. David Blaine stream.
The punishment is I'm carrying this bloody title on my shoulder. It's really heavy. Bacon Rasher, have fun watching Raw tonight for us, lads. I'll give it a miss and just catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks for the great stream as always. Hashtag Andy's JTJ. Hashtag and new. Luke Neal, not sure whether you missed my early super chat or not. Just wanted to say how you fellas talking about Nickelback songs put a genuine smile on my face. Thank you very much, Luke. George Yami, Retribution Twitter game is on fire. Yeah, the Twitter game has been very good. Let's not all get ahead of ourselves. It's not going to be the characters they're doing on Raw, though. Like, I know we're all having fun with it, but it's not like T-Bar and Mace are going to come out and be fun characters on Raw. They're going to come out and cut their crap promos about, you're all whores of the system or whatever. Bacon Rasher, Retribution name, Little Chef Dog. And Charlie Davis, lastly, this is the Roman we all loved from The Shield. Glad to see WWE has caught up.
Elbow is so much more depth. So much more depth, I think. Mm. And it means, you know, the credibility of the guy has only grown since. And the big takeaway, apart from how bad Raw is right now, how fantastic Roman Reigns is. But it's the Miz rule, ultimately, all over again. Mm-hmm. SmackDown has the Miz on. Where will he go in the draft? There's loads of stuff coming up this week, so subscribe to WrestleTalk. We'll have a Raw review tomorrow. We'll have the WrestleTalk news every day of the week. We've got AEW. We've got NXT. Plenty, plenty more. And there's my sort of edited green screen review of Cock today, if you want to go over and watch that too. Also, go over and check out Parts of Unknown and Wrestle 2 and Phenomenerds, our board game channel that launches next Monday. Ooh. Exciting stuff. But for now, I've been Mr. Davis. This guy has been your champion, Lukewarm Lou Cohen. And that was wrestling.
Get no, rowdy, everyone. You. Get rowdy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.